We'll go ahead and get started this evening. You would stand tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lynette is feeling a little better. We appreciate that. And just ask that you remember her. Continue to pray for all those on our prayer request list. God would just reach down and touch them and help them. And so lifting them up. As we said this morning, I was glad to have folks in service who hadn't been with us in service for a little bit. So we are thankful for that. And then just also a special request for Nita Humphreys and her family, Brother Sister Mary's family, Brother Don's sister-in-law, Lauren Wood, Susan Garrett family, Natalie, remember her, and then again, Lynetta, Sister Kenya's co-worker. So remember her in prayer. Any others this evening? Right. Brother Jerry, will you open us tonight in prayer? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Come here.
Page 98. Go ahead and turn to page 98 in your blue book. Page 98. Page 148. Page 140. Page 217.
Celestial show.
Anybody have a testimony this evening?
Yesterday morning, I got up and I went to a craft show and I did not hurt all day.
Does anyone have a special?
Thank you.
Who's next?
Oh.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
All right. Does this sound as loud to you as it does to me?
No.
And they say I'm hard of hearing. I'll tell you what. If you'll give me a few minutes tonight, I'd like to go back to this morning and think about what we read in the book of Ezekiel. And I want to read these first few verses, and then we'll go to a few more verses. And I do want to talk to us about being revived. And I'll be honest with you, church, God wants to revive His people in a manner which will bring about revival in our lives. Now, I can tell you, I've seen folks, and I thought about this on the way down this morning. I heard somebody one time said that there was somebody flying in, and they were, as they were flying in, they was over, coming over Northwest Arkansas, and they looked down there, and they saw a fire, just like God gave them a vision, is what they said, and Northwest Arkansas was on fire. And they said, God is going to send a great revival to Northwest Arkansas. And I'll be honest with you, I've lived here all my life, and I've lived through all that, and I've never seen that revival. But I'll tell you what I have seen. Them turn towards hell more than anything. Laws and rules and everything else that disappoint, displease, dissatisfy God. And so, you know, it's like I was saying this morning, there's no new prophecy under the sun which God would give. And I will say this, the Bible did say in the last days that God said He'd pour out His Spirit upon His sons and His daughters. He would give them words and visions and so forth. But on the same hand, when somebody tells me something like that and it doesn't come to pass, and it's been probably, well, it was before I come down here, so 15 to 20 years at least, and it's not come to pass, it doesn't mean that it ain't going to happen. I'm just saying, when God tells you something's going to happen, if it's really God, it will happen. All right? And so that's the thing that I think about there. But this is what I do know because of the Bible, that God wants to revive in His people. And God will send a revival to His people who are willing to allow God to work. It's not about what prophecy I would say or anything like that, because I'm not going to prophesy. I don't believe in that. It's in the Bible to hear the Word of God. But I do believe this, that God puts on our hearts that God wants to work, and He's not finished working. He's willing to work if we're willing to be worked in.
Amen.
And willing to be used. So I go back this more evening, if you would stand. Ezekiel 37, I'm going to read these verses again, and I'll just read the one, verses 3 and 4, and then I'll get into the rest of the context, all right? Verse 3 in Ezekiel 37, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Father, tonight I thank you, dear God. I praise you, dear Lord, for all the blessings you give us, for all that you've bestowed upon us and your favor, dear God. I just ask you tonight, let your will be done, your name be glorified. Help us, Heavenly Father, to magnify, honor, and worship thy name. And give us the strength and the guidance that we need, Father, to follow through on that which you'd have us to do. And we'll give you glory, honor, and praise in Christ's holy name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. What would be a perfect verse to follow up that verse with? If you want to set your hearts to revival, if you want to see revival come to the church, and like I said this morning, on April the 8th and 9th, we're going to have Brother Tim Adair with us on those nights at 7 o'clock each night. But think about this. What would be the greatest way to start, I guess would say, and I've already liked it in my life, but start a revival or have a revival spirit in our lives? God's Word has that answer. Matter of fact, it's the answer that we've been trying to get across the folks, and I'm sure you've been hearing a lot, not because of revival, but because we want things to calm down. I mean, after all, people pray more about the gas prices than they do about spiritual souls. Have you ever thought about that? Just think about this. We will start asking God for a new leader in order to get things calmed down financially before we will start asking God for spiritual leadership to get our lives right with Him. But yet the Bible has the answer to revival. We say it a lot. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14, 15, and 16. Here's God's answer to you and I for revival. If my people which are called by my name, stop right there. I preach this a lot. I won't spend a lot of time there tonight, but just think about it right there. God made a qualifying statement when He started off this verse. He did not say, if the lost world gets saved. He said, if my people, which are called by my name. That's it starts. Remember, Peter says, if judgment's to come, it needs to start where? In the house of God. Think about that, church. So if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. God, I know that I'm not perfect. I also understand, God, that I've not been doing things the way that I ought to be doing them. I also know, God, that I've not allowed you to work the way you want to work. I've not allowed you to do what you want to do. I've not allowed you to be what you want to be. I mean, after all, God, it's like this. If God had His way every time, do you not think we would have great services every time? Do you not think people would walk into the church house who are lost and then walk out of the church house saved because God had His way? And if it's like this, though, the hindering of the Spirit, I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. This devil cannot hinder the Spirit because he does not have the Spirit. He can fight against the Spirit, but he can't hinder the Spirit. You and I hinder it. Why? Because the Bible tells you and I not to quench the Spirit. Think about that for just a second. The Bible is full of the answers that we're looking for. Humble themselves and pray, seek my face. What did I say this morning? Seek and ye shall find. God said, seek ye me while you can. Think about Jesus talking. Seek me while I am near. All of these scriptures that God has in the Word of God, when we think about what He says there, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. God said, cry unto me, and I will answer. And here's the people of God sitting there saying, God, there ain't nothing I can do about it. There ain't nothing going to change as long as I'm here. You know, I've seen it going this way for years, and I've tried to tell them. I've tried, but God, it doesn't happen. God said, listen, quit pointing the finger. And bow your own head. Bow your own knee. I mean, after all, church, let me just say this. If you pray for me as opposed to pointing me out, I'm better off.
Amen.
Think about it for a second. We don't pray enough. We don't seek enough. We don't ask enough. And we don't hear enough. Think about that. I thought about this scripture this morning on the way down here. I was listening to somebody preach, and they was talking. I thought this scripture, remember, the Bible says, God said that my ear is not heavy, that I cannot hear. You ever thought about what that meant? Heavy. I mean, after all, do you even notice your ears? Now, you ladies might, if you put a heavy enough earring in there, you might notice the tug of the ear. But just in general, do you ever notice the weight of your ear on your head? Because I never have. I mean, just to be honest with you, I've never noticed the weight of my ear on my head. But God said, my ear is not heavy. What is He saying there? In other words, He's not heard too much. Matter of fact, He ain't heard enough. He said, my ear is not heavy that I cannot hear. It's not so full of cries that everybody's crowding one another out. God can hear your cry and my cry at the same time. The amazing thing is this, that God doesn't hear enough instead of too much.
Amen.
Where are the people of God when it comes to a prayer life? It's like I said this morning. How many of you really think
How many of you don't think that if we ask God for one soul a month, that's too much? How many of us though have the faith to believe that if we ask God for that one soul, He'll do it? I mean, I'll be honest with you, sis. I don't know what happened with your daughter this morning, Becky. And she wasn't in our church when that happened. But what I do know is this, that I've been praying and I've been asking God that we'd have at least one soul amongst saved, that we'd have one soul who's backslidden to come back to the Lord. And you say, well, Brother Ernie, it didn't happen here. I know it didn't happen here, but on the same, listen to this, they're here tonight telling us about what happened there, and if it happened there, it can happen here. It just takes faith. Said, my eyes are open and my heart is attended to the prayers made in this place. Now we know this, that we're talking about the dedication of the temple. We understand that they had built and established in Solomon's there. And I mean, here's the temple of God. And the Bible tells us how glorious it was, how wonderful it was. But it also tells us that that temple was destroyed. And in the New Testament, it tells us that your body, my body, is the living temple of the living God. And God said, now will my ears be attended unto this place. God is listening to your prayers and my prayers in this place. So you can say, well, Brother Ernie, it's only then. I'm going to tell you something. The people who believe it's only then have lost all hope in God. Have lost all belief that God will do anything different in God. I'm here to tell you, I believe the Old Testament and the New Testament are applicable today because when I read them, they're written in a present tense form verb, not a past tense form verb. Read in the book of Hebrews. What does it say in the book of Hebrews about the sacrifices? It says, If when talking about the sprinkling of the blood and the ashes of heifers, if that had been sufficient, there would not have been a new covenant or a new testament. In other words, we understand the Bible deferred the old from the new. It understood the first from the last. It understood these things and it made it clear. So why do we say, well, Brother Ernie, that's there. And why do we say this? Well, that's only Israel. He was talking to the Jews. My Bible tells me in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, that he will be a light unto the Gentiles. What does that tell you? That there are things written in the Old Testament we ought to lay hold on and hope in and not surrender up. So he said, for I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Now I will say it again tonight, church. If that was the old tabernacle, the old temple, and that's all it was, then the heart of God is dead. Because that temple no longer stands. But this one does. Think about it. You and I are still alive today. Amen. So was he talking about the stones or was he talking about the heart of Solomon? When Christ said unto Peter and the disciples, says, who do thou say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? Well, Peter's name was Rock, and therefore built it upon the foundation of Peter. No, Peter's dead. It can't be Peter. Peter is dead. Who's not? Christ. Behold, I am alive forevermore. You say, Brother Ernie, but Peter's alive. His spirit's alive. His soul's alive. He's got a new body. But think about it this way, church. Christ was not talking about Peter. He was talking about the foundational belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, he was the rock in the Old Testament. He's the rock in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, he was the rock that brought forth life. In the New Testament, he was the rock in which we should build upon. If you look back into your Bible, church, I'm telling you over and over again, it's this, that people don't believe the promises of God unless they are written there specifically in a manner in which they say, well, that's for me. I know this for a back tonight. Every promise God has said that wasn't directed to one individual, I can lay hold on. Because he didn't say it's just for you. He said, here's the facts. In the book of Nehemiah, in the fourth chapter, and it said this. And let me go over there, because if I don't, I will miss. This is one of those ones where I said, read this chapter. And when I said that, it wasn't for me to read it then. It was for me to read it in the message. Nehemiah. And I know I should have marked it out. You bear with me. And your Bible's got the small print page like mine does. All right. I'm not going to get there. All right, I'm not going to hinder. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 2 says this, and he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what does these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end of day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now, I want you to think about this. Nehemiah goes back, and here they are. The walls is burnt down. The gates is tore off. The city's in disarray. There's nobody there doing anything. And now the city of God, everything is just laid out there as the enemy can just flood in and take control. He gets back. They begin to rebuild it. The enemy doesn't like it. By the way, the enemy never likes it when you and I start to get refreshed in the spirit. He does not like it when you and I start to feel good in the spirit. He don't like it when tears begin to flow. He don't like it when smiles begin to grow. He don't like it when hands begin to raise. He don't like it when people begin to clap. He don't like it when people want to come back to church. Listen to me, the devil doesn't like it when you and I start to feel what God wants us to feel. And by the way, it's that thing this morning I was thinking about as I was standing there. Hold it together, Ernie. Hold it together, Ernie. Hold it together. And then I begin to think about, wait a second, don't hold it off, just hold it together. Amen. And that's when God began to move freely. You understand what I'm saying, church? The enemy doesn't like it when we begin to move freely with the Lord. And as I was, Nehemiah, the enemy didn't like it. So I like what they did. They got folks and they divided out. And of course, they're each one building the wall. But one group is doing work. The other group is standing guard. Somebody's got a shield and somebody's got a sword. Somebody's got a, I mean, they're all holding an instrument to work and an instrument to war. Everything's going. And the enemy realizes this. They're prepared if I should go. You ever thought about that? Will they revive the stones? Think about this. They weren't saying, will the stones start having blood or heartbeats? No. They're saying, will they put one stone upon another and then another? Well, they're going to dig them out of the heap pile that they fell in, and they're going to place them back. And listen to me. They would go from a pile that you could crawl over to a wall that you couldn't pass over. That's the reviving of the stones. The reviving of you and my is this. We allow the devil to walk all over us. We allow the devil to hinder us. We allow the devil to make us look around and say nothing will ever change. Nothing's going to be any different. It's not going to be any more. I mean, after all, I thought about this the very night when we asked Brother Tim if he would come. I thought, Lord, I didn't have time to really ask the folks, and things changed, but I just send a text out. And it, like I said, only a couple of people respond. Now, I understand if you don't get a text, you don't respond. But I thought to myself, well, nobody wants to come. But then I thought to this, who cares? If God wants me here and God wants Brother Tim here, then there'll be a good service. Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He didn't say where 200 or 300 are gathered. He didn't say where 2,000 or 3,000 are gathered. He said where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. It just takes two of us to have a good service in the Lord. Why? Because when God shows up, then service has happened. Yeah. So the enemy knew. Psalms 85 verse 6 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Now think about this for just a second, church. You got to go over there. Brother Arnie, why didn't you read more of that? I thought maybe if I read that one verse, it'd prick your heart to go over there and say, what's surrounding that? Look at this. Verse 1, "Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Shelah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, unto our salvation." Now think about this. God, you done X, Y, and Z. God, you basically took off of us the hand of punishment. God, you took us out of the bondage we were in. And now we say unto God, what? God, you done all of this. Now God, do this. Turn us. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, can these bones live?" Yes. Yes, they can. Will they live? If they will hear the word of the Lord. That's the difference, church. That's the difference. If you and I don't hear the word, we will not live, because in him is life. "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." In these scriptures, we have the words of life. "To whom shall we go, Lord? For thou hast the words of life." Think about it. "Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will hear their land." We know that God said it in Chronicles. The questions asked in Psalms. The answer is always there. And all through the scriptures, people would ask a question. And all you got to do is go back in the scriptures and look. There's the answer. So is there any use in having revival services? No. If you want to be dead. But if you want, like I want, to see God move in my life, in your life, in the lives of others, yes. But revival services come when the people of God are where they need to be with God. Because that's when we come in with the Spirit of God, ready to do the will of God, and we'll leave here having felt like we were in the presence of God. Think about it, church. Psalms 138:7, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me." Hey, church, do you ever feel like you're in the middle of people who don't care? I live that way. Not in my house, but around me at work and stuff. Different times I'm standing next to somebody and they're just talking away. And I mean, they're dead bones walking. And I care. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in high and holy place, and him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one." In other words, God says, I dwell where I dwell, and I want to do it. If I can just have somebody submit to me, I will do this. You need to read the whole chapter of Hosea chapter 6. But let me just put it to you this way. When you get done reading through there, you'll find this, that you think, man, that is Christ in us. Because chapter 6 verse 2 says, "After 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight, just like Jesus." Think about it this way. 2 days in the grave. Right, but on the third day, He didn't stay. He rose. He was there 3 days, just like the Bible says. Jesus himself said, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the man be in the belly of the earth. And we know this, that on the third day he arose again. He come up again on the third day. He rose again. We're fixing to celebrate Palm Sunday in April, and then we'll have Resurrection Sunday. And as we look at it, think about this. Why do we celebrate? That he was crucified on one day. He was buried that day. He was in the ground. He was in the ground. And then on the third day, he was no longer in the ground. I mean, why come to church if he's still dead? Hosea chapter 14, verse 7, thou wilt dwell under the shadow, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Think about it this way, church. God is mad with what's going on. I'll guarantee you God is mad. Hey, can I just say, I was going to say this morning and I forgot all about it. How do you know God's mad? Well, let me just say this. How many of you know what's going on in Maryland? Nobody. Pay attention to what's going on in Maryland. Infanticide. Infanticide. Here's what it is. They want to pass a law in Maryland that says that if a child is born and not nurtured and does not live past the first 28 days of their life, they can die and nobody can be punished. And if somebody tries to punish the person who allowed that child to die, that person can be sued for trying to prosecute the person who allowed them to die. You want to talk about a bunch of sick, twisted, I don't know what you'd call them. But I'll tell you something, church. And I don't mess with politics just a whole lot, but I mess about politics, right? You know me. But can I ask you a question? If you are a Democrat, is that the Democratic Party you know? Think about that for just a second. That's what they are today. They're the ones trying to pass the law in Maryland that allows a baby to be born. The mother can deliver that child, take that child and set it up over here out of her sight, out of her mind, out of her way. And if that child dies within the first 28 days of its birth, it is okay. A hospital can have a child delivered in the hospital, and the mom can say, I do not want that child. And they have to send it off to the side and leave it there. And if it does not survive past the 28th day, it is okay. That's what they want to do. Church, do you not think God will be mad and upset with that? That's what we've come to. And by the way, what does the Bible say? As it was in the days of Noah, shall it be in the days when the Lord doth return. Church, we're getting dangerously close to those days. I mean, just think about it. Here we are. O Lord, I've heard thy speech. They don't hear the speech of God, but I hope in our church we will. And was afraid. They're not afraid of God. They don't believe God exists. And by the way, I've said this before, and I've been hearing preachers say it now a lot lately, that nobody believes anybody dies and their family never goes to hell. Every funeral you go to, they're in a better place. It don't matter how wicked they are. Meatball died. How many of you know who he is? He died, and they said heaven is filled with rock. No, heaven's filled with the rock, but not with meatball. I'm just saying. I watched the list of the other day. Ned had the TV on. We was just looking. And the list of celebrities that you never knew were Christians. Will Smith. Vile, filthy mouth. I mean to tell you, Christian. Tyler Perry. Christian. I mean, these are people that, I'll tell you what, I disdain them. They ain't never showed me no Christian. I mean, just stop and think about it. There was others on there that I never heard of, and I'm just sitting here going to myself, well, if these people are Christians, why are they doing what they're doing? Well, then you ought to ask yourself, well, if you're Christians, what are you doing while you're doing? Why are you doing what you're doing sometimes? I mean, we got to stop and think about this. But listen, we hear the word of the Lord. We hear the speech of God. We read His word. And when we do it, it causes us to do something. We get afraid. And then He says, revive thy work in the midst of the years. I want God to revive His work in me. I want God to revive His work in this church. I'm just telling you, church, we've been saying it for years. We know it to be true. The church today is not like the church of old. The reason why the church today is not like the church of old is we're not as close to God as what they were. They depended more on God than we do. And we get to this day and age, we don't worship, we don't pray, we don't seek, we don't... it's just one of those things there. We wonder why the younger generation doesn't come to church, because they don't see anything in church worth coming for. They don't understand the power and the presence and the working, the miracles of God. I mean, after all, in the old church, they used to praise God when somebody gave them a loaf of bread. They would praise God because they had gas to get to church. They would praise God because they were able to walk to church. They praised God for the clothes they had on their back. They didn't take nothing for granted. And yet today, we take everything for granted, including God. You know, some of the old-time preachers could not even read the Word of God. My wife's great-granddad, Ace Ferguson, could not read the Word of God and yet preached every Sunday. How did he do it, Brother Arnie? Grandma Ferguson could read the Word of God. And so on Sunday morning, he would say, we're going to be in this place, in this chapter, and Grandma Ferguson would read what he was going to preach on, and then he would preach, and he'd done that, and then later on in life, he finally got able to read the Word of God for himself. And let me just say it this way, church, it did not diminish, it just increased, because now both of them knew how to read it. Think about it for a second. The things that was, that aren't, because the things that was has been forgotten. Churches used to have a good time serving God. When good news came, think about it this way. Genesis chapter 45, verse 27. And they told him all the words of Joseph. Now think about this for a second. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph was thought to be dead, but really was a prisoner. Joseph was thought to be in prison, but really had ruled to reign, or rose to reign. Yet Joseph is still dead as far as Jacob is concerned. He said, and they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, Joseph said to his brothers, what did he say? Go get my dad and bring him here. He said, brother, ain't that what's written? Well, you can read it for yourself. I'm just telling you, go get him. Tell him. And so they did. And so he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him. The spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Think about it this way, church. Jacob was excited. Jacob had lost his son. He's dead. He's no longer there. He's absent from the picture. There's no hope of ever seeing him again. He's been destroyed and devoured. He's gone. And yet now we know this. Joseph is alive. Joseph is well. Joseph is at the house of Pharaoh. He's the second in command. Joseph has now got the ability to give them life and sustain them through the famine. But Jacob wasn't focused on that. Jacob was focused on this. My son was dead, but really is alive. I'm ready to see my son. God's ready to see his people. We need to have our spirit revived by looking against once again at what God is doing. Sister Donna Faye, Sometimes what's in us has to come out of us for us to be healed. That's a perfect example of it. See, we think some things just got to disappear, but sometimes what's in us got to get out of us. Just stop. What is in your life that needs to get out of your life so that you can have a better relationship with God? Judges chapter 15, verse 19, but God clave the hollow place and that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And he, when he drunk, the Spirit came again and revived. Therefore, he was called the name of the place Ekhorn of, and I don't remember how to preach these unto this day. But think about it this way: water come from there. The Spirit again was there. He revived in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. The soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. This child was dead. And the mom says, hey, my child's dead. I mean, the man of God's been here, and now the man of God's gone, and my son's dead. What's going on here? Elijah comes back. Here he is. He goes up into the loft. He lies down on the child. He prays to God, and the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of the child, comes back into him. He revives. The soul of the child came back, and he revived. What was it? He was dead and is alive. And ye were once dead in your trespasses and sin, but you have to be quickened together with him. Think about it, church. Ye who were once dead, being alive. We ought to be alive. 2 Kings chapter 13, I've just got three more. You can bear with me a little longer, right? Chapter 13, verse 21, and it came to pass that they were burying a man, that behold, the spied of a band of men, that cast the man into the sepulchre of Elijah. And when the fit man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah. Hey, church, there's something to be said about being around somebody who was full of the Spirit of God. Can I say that again? Surround yourselves with the people who are full of the Spirit of God. Because we surround ourselves a lot of times with dead bones. Elijah's bones may have been dead, but Elijah's spirit was not, right? He had the Spirit of God. And think about it this way. Lazarus is in the tomb. Lord, if he'd have been here, he'd have still been alive. He said, thy brother shall live again. Why? Because he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's something to be said about the bones of a saint of God. Brother Ernie ain't never seen it. I'll tell you the truth. If I do, I hope God takes me right away. I'll just be honest with you. We go lay somebody down in the ground and they come up out of that casket. I'm here to tell you. God, get me next, because if not, I'm going to be dead one way or the other. I promise you. But they did. He revived and stood up on his feet just because his body touched the bones of Elisha. Church, there's something to be said there. Romans 7 and 9, I was alive without law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now think about this. This is not a good one here. Paul was saying, I was alive and well. I was in the Spirit. I mean, I was doing things, but the law came into me, and when the law was there, I was dead. But now, look, I'm living in the Spirit. There's a whole new way of living now. Because why? Because the law told me I could not be saved because I was imperfect, unfallible of completing the law. But when grace came in, yeah. Romans 14 and verse 9, to this end Christ both died and rose and revived. Can I say something, church? We need revival. We need it in our lives. We need it in our homes. We need it in our church. We need it in our community. And I will guarantee you something, and this is just an absolute fact. I know it is because you and I are both developed in the same way. If we're driving someplace and we don't know something special is going on or something's happening, and we happen to look over there and there's a mess of cars like we've never seen before, we go, what in the world is going on there? happens if this church is surrounded with cars? The front side's filled with cars. The side is filled with cars. The back is filled with cars. You say, Brother Herney, we must have the Ledbetters here. I'm saying we must have something going on here that needs to be heard, that needs to be going on. In other words, this is what I'm saying, church, that Christ died so we could be revived. Christ died so we could live. And Christ died so we could live living, not just live sustaining. That He may be Lord both of the dead and the living. Well, He is. I'm thankful tonight to say that I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I was once bound, but now I'm free.
Amen.
Church, I'm just telling you tonight, the answers were real clear. And I didn't get to all of them this morning, so I wanted to make sure that with the Lord's help, I got through it tonight. But listen to me, if you will go read Ezekiel 37, read those first four or five verses there again, and look at what He said. He said, can these bones live again? He said, Lord, Thou knowest. What was He saying? You know they can? You know they will? What were they saying? He said, God had the answer. Thou, Son of Man, then say unto these bones, hear the word of the Lord. The most important thing you and I will get tonight is that. Hear the word of the Lord. Would you stand tonight? Father, we're thankful tonight and we're grateful, Lord, for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your grace. Thankful, Heavenly Father, tonight that we're able to be in Your house. Thankful, dear God, tonight for those that are here. And Lord, I would that more would come out to Your house on a Sunday night. I just desire, dear God, that more folks would realize the need of continuing the fellowship, continuing, dear God, in service and worship, dear Lord. Father, I know that not every service is the same as the last service, but hopefully, dear God, they'll get better and not worse. So we ask You, Father, this evening tonight that You would just touch and move and guide and direct, dear God, in every heart and soul. And let Your will be accomplished, Father, we pray tonight in the blessed name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In His name, amen. Amen. Thankful to be in God's house tonight. Thankful to be with you. Anything on anybody's heart you want to pray about or anything you want to share. I'm so glad what God's doing with me. I just hope He does more.
Amen.
I'm glad what God's doing with you. I like smiling faces. Remember what I said this morning? I like smiling faces. It's a blessing to be surrounded with folks who love the Lord. I'm blessed to be here. And I'm blessed for you to be here with me. Anybody else?
I know the Lord, I'm so thankful. Now, every week you ask for a testimony. I do have a testimony. It happened 9 years ago when we moved to California here, when I began to walk with the Lord and trust Him with all my heart, you know, I began a relationship with Him. After I had Brandon, I was sick with my thyroid. I have a thyroid disease, and I began to know Jesus, and I began to
why we say God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
And Brother Donald always, Brother Don says, he's great. He is. He is. I tell you what, we've had a nice testimony service, Sister. It's like I said, Sister Donna, just the perfect thing. Sometimes we're healed by what comes out. Sometimes we're healed, but what doesn't continue? We see God work and move. We're healed because sin is gone. Think about that. The greatest healing I ever had in my life was when my sin was removed and my account was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Anybody else? Last blood work was a goose egg. We like that. And we praise the Lord for that. All right. Thankful to be here tonight. Glad for each of you being with us. Pray God bless, keep you safe as you go home. Brother Johnny, would you dismiss us tonight?
Heavenly Father, we